This is Ken Smith welcoming you to our Bringing a Message radio programme, brought to you by the By All Means Gospel Trust from Solihull, England. Today we are bringing you the last in a short series entitled Early Old Testament Characters, and today's character is Joseph. Sold by his brothers as a slave into Egypt and eventually becoming the premier of that great country makes one of the most moving stories in the Old Testament, especially when he makes known his identity to his brothers. Maurice Payne, General Secretary of the By All Means Gospel Trust, is the speaker. Hilary is reading the scriptures and making the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and singers. If this program is a help and a blessing to you, we would like to hear from you. Our mailing address is BAM Gospel Trust, Box 7778, Solihull, B927AG, United Kingdom. We shall repeat this address at the close of the broadcast and also give you our email address. Stay tuned for today's message.
The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Genesis 39, verse 23.
Though the biographical sketch of Joseph is one of the longest in the book of Genesis, it is full of interest right to the end. Stephen summarized it in his sermon in the Acts of the Apostles with the words, God was with him. Now, to look properly at the statement, the Lord was with him, we need to follow every step in Joseph's life, because the Lord is with us every step of life's way. Joseph's life was so varied that we can confidently assume the statement that God was with Joseph refers to his whole life through. It is also true to say that God was with Joseph in a special way. It was only the hand of the Lord upon him and his presence with him that prevented him from being murdered by his brothers and enabled him to escape from slavery and to become prime minister under Pharaoh in Egypt. In many ways, Joseph's life gives us a picture of Christ. He was beloved of his father, sold or betrayed by his brothers for the price of a slave. He became a servant. He resisted temptation, was unjustly condemned and bound. He was exalted to the highest place, and he gave bread to the world. Joseph was not always conscious of God's presence, yet the fact that God was with him was far more important than the feeling. Absence of visible or recognizable presence of God calls for faith, and we know that without faith we cannot please God. So we look with profit at every experience Joseph had, especially when we recognize ourselves to be in a similar situation. First, he was beloved of his father.
Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. Genesis 37, verse 3.
Now, while Joseph may have enjoyed his father's special care and attention, it's not a healthy situation when a parent shows special favour to one child at the expense of others. Such behaviour can make for a divided home, as we saw in the case of Isaac and Rebekah, who had their respective special affections for Esau and Jacob. In Joseph's case, as indeed in Jacob's, it was the fact that God was with him and responsible for all that befell him as a result of this special affection shown him that brought him through. Every child needs parental love, but when favoritism is shown, it often leads to problems later on. Now, Joseph was hated by his brothers.
When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Genesis 37, verse 4.
As when trying to unravel most situations, we need to know a bit about the family background. And one thing we should remember is that Joseph's brothers were half-brothers. The boys no doubt fell out among one another, but the main target of their hatred would be the minority group of Joseph and Benjamin, whose mother was Rachel, and would in particular be directed against Joseph. Yet, in the matter of hatred, the Lord was with Joseph. He also was a dreamer.
He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of corn out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it." Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me."
I think we can say that Joseph was unwise in telling these dreams to his brothers, particularly when he knew they had animosity against him. He showed little wisdom, yet even in this we see the overruling hand of God, for God was with him in his early years, just as much as he was later on, when first a slave and then in prison. Joseph was sold into Egypt.
Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. Verses 26 to 28.
The boys had said, "Here comes that dreamer. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him." And then we read, they changed their minds and sold him into Egypt. God's hand was definitely upon Joseph on this occasion when his brothers teamed up against him. And we can be sure God will be with all his servants who face opposition and even death threats from the family. Joseph wasn't spared being cast into prison, wasn't spared here from being cast into a pit, but deliverance came in an unexpected way. He was delivered out of the hand of his brothers, though in a manner he might not have chosen. Now, God blessed him when he was a slave. Listen to these words.
When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favour in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Genesis 39, verses 3 to 6.
Today we abhor and have outlawed slavery, but then it was a common practice. But there were some kind masters, however, and Joseph was bought by such a man. Potiphar, his master, saw that the Lord was with him and gave him all this responsibility that we've just read to you. And when he left everything in Joseph's care, he found God's blessing on everything he owned, both in house and in the field. We should note that God didn't free Joseph from the bondage of slavery, though he was by birth a free man and had done nothing to warrant it. He blessed him in it. We cannot but think Joseph prayed to the Lord for his release from slavery, but it was not to be so at this time. So it is with us. We pray for release from a particular situation that is affecting us. God hears our prayer, but doesn't release us. Why is this? Is it not because he has a greater blessing for us in the situation where he has put us? Now Joseph also shines because he did not yield to temptation.
Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though he spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her.
Joseph remained morally upright, even though the price he paid was to suffer wrongful imprisonment. We might say being thrown into prison was most unfair. And most certainly Joseph would think so, yet God was with him. And God's plan was unfolding. Joseph paid a price to retain his integrity, and in the short term, it must seem that God had not vindicated the stand he took. Any who feel wronged for the right they've done should take comfort from Joseph's experience. God's plans for you extend beyond the immediate reward you receive. Judgment will be meted out to Potiphar's wife in the day of judgment, when the affairs of all are brought before God. For now, Joseph descended into prison to await what turned out to be a call to the premiership of Egypt. But even there in prison, he was favoured of God.
But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favour in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Genesis 39, verses 20 to 23.
The presence of God made Joseph a shining light in the darkness of the prison. He needed to be there. It was in the midst of all the depression and despair that was to be found in prison that Joseph's walk with God distinguished him from all the others and must have made him a blessing to those around him. Followers of the Lord today are imprisoned unjustly at times, and many find the Lord leads them to places where they would not choose to be. All who know this experience do well to consider Joseph's testimony when he was in prison, and to seek to do all they can to let the light and love of the Lord shine out of their lives into the darkness that surrounds them. You may not be in the place of your choosing, but you should be where you can testify to God being with you and shine for him. Now we know Joseph was an interpreter of dreams.
Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. That's Genesis 40, verses 1 to 3.
And there, in prison, these two had dreams. Dreams play an important part in revealing the plan of God for the future, and God's presence with Joseph gave him a spirit of discernment, and he was able to give an interpretation to each man. To the cupbearer, relating to his dream, he foretold his reinstatement to the king within 3 days. And when he interpreted the baker's dream, he told him he would be executed. And surely enough, in 3 days, when Pharaoh had a birthday, he reinstated his cupbearer and executed his baker. Now all this was a big disappointment to Joseph.
The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Genesis 40, verse 23.
Joseph asked the cupbearer to remember him when all went well with him again. But as you just heard, the cupbearer forgot all about him. Joseph had to remain in prison for a further 2 years. We can imagine how he would be waiting for news from the cupbearer leading to his release, and then slowly come to realize that the cupbearer had forgotten him. Whatever disappointment Joseph experienced was due to his looking to man. God hadn't forgotten him, and the telling of the meaning of the cupbearer's dream did play a part, but it was to be under God's hand and in God's own time. Life has many disappointments, and the disciples of Jesus are in no way absolved from having their share of them. God is not a disappointment. And if we see to it that we walk in his way and patiently trust him, any disappointments we experience will be because we trust in one another rather than in God. And so, in due time, Joseph was elevated to the position of prime minister.
Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Genesis 41, 39 to 41.
Joseph had been brought before Pharaoh when at last the cupbearer remembered him and mentioned his name to Pharaoh about interpreting his dream. So after all this time, God had his hand upon Joseph. And so 2 years later, he followed the cupbearer, not just into the palace, but to the leading office in the land under Pharaoh. Again, it was Joseph's gift of interpretation of dreams that caused Pharaoh to promote him to enter his service as the one in charge of the palace and the economy of the whole land. It's worth remarking that Joseph was ready to use his gift. He didn't neglect it, as the Apostle Paul was later to warn us could happen. He was not like some who take childish offence when things don't happen as they expect. Rather, he waited 2 full years in prison. And so when Pharaoh's dream, which puzzled him, caused him consternation throughout the palace court, the cupbearer remembered, and Joseph was called to interpret before Pharaoh. The interpretation was there was to be given 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of drought. Pharaoh recognized the mind of God in this interpretation, and it was in order to prepare for these years of famine that Joseph was appointed chief minister, and he led a wise administration.
Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and travelled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. That's Genesis 41, 46 to 48.
Joseph was able to organize and administer the affairs of state in such a way as to maximize upon the advance warning given by God. There can be no doubt that he put to good use his experience gained earlier and included in it that he had had in Potiphar's household and again in prison, where he was a trusted prisoner. The same goes for experience in dealing with people, public relations, which he had gleaned in every phase of his life from the time his brothers manhandled him into the pit right up to the present. It's good when we can use the past to help us in the present. Faith in the outworking of God's purpose in every one of our lives should help us to have confidence that experience patiently gained, even in the most unenviable situations, can prove invaluable in what God has for us in the future. Joseph arranged for all the food produced in the 7 years of plenty to be put aside. He stored huge quantities of grain, so great that Scripture records it was like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. When the years of plenty gave way to years of famine, and the effects of that famine spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians. Not only did the stored grain provide for the land of Egypt, but surrounding countries heard about it, and traders from all around came down to buy grain from the storehouses Joseph had made. The years of plenty afforded the opportunity to lay in store enough grain to meet the needs of all the Egyptians and many more in the years of famine. This was God's provision. It makes us wonder how much we lack when we experience times of spiritual drought because we didn't store up the blessings that were available to us in the years of plenty. The opening of these storehouses in Egypt and the increasing famine in the land of Canaan caused Jacob, Joseph's aged father, to let his remaining sons go down to Egypt. Thus began one of the most touching and appealing scenes recorded as the young men went down to Egypt, but didn't recognize Joseph. They actually went down twice, and it was on the second occasion that Joseph made himself known to them. At last, Joseph made himself known, though up to that time, his brethren had thought he was a very severe prime minister in Egypt. And listen to this verse that described what happened.
In Genesis 45, we read, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come close to me.' When they had done so, he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.'" Verses 4 and 5.
You know, Joseph's brethren had been greatly distressed, and they'd been greatly perplexed, actually, since they stood in line waiting to be served at the storehouse the first time they went down and Joseph recognized them. Because they didn't recognize Joseph, he was able to talk with them without betraying his identity. He accused them of being spies, put them in custody for 3 days. And then on the second visit, we have this emotional scene as Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Now in all this, the Lord was with Joseph. And on revealing his true identity, he said, "It was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt." God, who had been with Joseph throughout every phase of his life, remained with him as he occupied the most important post in the land. And he had the pleasure and satisfaction of seeing his father and his brothers settled in a fertile part of Egypt. Now the Lord promises his presence with all who follow him and his blessing upon all who love him. God's blessing and presence doesn't mean an easy path or a shelter from the difficulties and distresses that others have to face. A glance at Joseph's life should show you that. It does mean you will have God's care and protection, and the assurance that your life will be one of complete fulfillment and purpose. Remember again the words Jesus said to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always."
The Bringing a Message radio program you have just heard is the radio outreach of the By All Means Gospel Trust based in Solihull, England. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners. Our email address is info@bringingamessage.org and our mailing address is BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 7778, Solihull, spelt S-O-L-I-H-U-L-L, B927AG, United Kingdom. You can listen to today's message again by logging on to our website, www.bringingamessage.org, and then click on the Listen Again panel and select the message you would like to hear. To make a donation, go to the support page where you will find a donation form. These programs are supported entirely by free will donations of interested friends. Why not use the response form on the website, but please remember to include your email if you want a reply. You can follow us on Facebook. And now listen to Peter Jackson and Singers as they sing, "Precious Saviour, draw me closer, closer to your heart of love. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, all my barriers remove."
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye and may God richly bless you.